This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last Saturday, more than 200 cities from Spokane to Scranton saw modest rallies for a cause that was so pure, so unifying, that who in their right mind wouldn't want to join in? Save the children was the chant, and child trafficking the scourge. But lately, that movement to save the children has been engulfed by another movement that has filled the streets in its name. These rallies, in fact, are just the latest instance of QAnon, a group and a conspiracy theory spilling out of their online domain into what was formerly known as real life. This we know from the reporting of NBC News investigative reporter Brandi Zadrozny, along with reporter Ben Collins. Brandi, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
If I lived in, say, Grand Rapids or Pueblo, Colorado, or Evansville, Indiana, and I tuned into my local news last weekend, how would they have described what happened in my neck of the woods?
Well, you probably would have seen a correspondent standing in front of a group of a couple dozen people all holding signs saying,
"Wherever there are people, there's the potential for human trafficking, according to the Department of Homeland Security."
Speakers at the event believe the issue of human trafficking needs to be brought to the forefront, both in the U.S. and around the world.
A group called Operation Wake Humanity held signs and chanted "Save Our Children" to passing cars from the parking lot of the old Southside Kmart.
And you would see men, women, children, old, young, carrying these signs. They're dotted with handprints that are stained blood red. Often they have shirts that say, "I'm not for sale" on the kids. And they're shouting, "Save the children, save the children."
I'm really impressed with all these people out here. They are for save the children!
It's a stirring scene.
There were some of these Save the Children events across the country on July 30th, which I guess is designated the World Day Against Trafficking in Persons by the United Nations. So if it was on the 30th, why was it last weekend too?
The 30th seems to have inspired some of the more recent protests. So on the 30th, we had some reputable groups form together, have fundraisers. The very next day, you had an activist, conspiracy theorist, musician, cannabis dispensary worker show up in Hollywood with a shirt that had a big Q on it and a megaphone and a couple hundred people. And they, you know, walked back and forth across the street. They made their way to CNN.
"We're showing you all how to do a real peaceful assembly, not no chaotic riots. It's cool. The cops literally let us march inside CNN and made our voices heard. That was pretty dope of them."
That protest was identified as a Save the Children rally as well, but it had a markedly different flavor. The signs were very QAnon specific. So it's pedo wood. Instead of Save the Children, it's kill all pedophiles. There are cardboard placards that look like a piece of pizza and then another person holding a gate that's meant to signify Pizzagate, the discredited conspiracy theory that alleges a child sex ring was happening in the basement of a pizza parlor in D.C. So you had that flavor. And then you had some of the things that they were chanting, "Where we go one, we go all," QAnon specific. So one day apart, ostensibly same reason behind the march, but it was very different. And that's how we got the rest of the protests too.
The feedback from the rally has just been so astronomical. Like, it's been incredible and amazing and beautiful, so much so that we already have 12 other cities ready to go on August 22nd. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna have 100 cities. You heard me right. 100 cities across America. If you want to be a part of saving the children, step up.
Because he's a conspiracy theorist of all sorts. You know, I spoke with him and he believes in everything from anti-vaccination to chemtrails, the trails from planes going across the sky. Mm-hmm. People who believe in this theory think that the government is dumping something on us. Maybe it's to stop us from having children. Maybe it's to give us all cancer. It varies from conspiracy theorist to conspiracy theorist. But he believes in that. He just subscribes to every conspiracy theory that I've ever heard of. So he leapt on this as a social media maven. He's very good at it. And he used this to grow his brand and push a belief system that seems very true to his heart, what he believes.
So Scotty the Kid decided to arrange a Q rally with what was the same goal, to save the children. Only he believed that they were being threatened by democratically controlled child sex rings operating in the basements of pizza places. And we know this is not without consequences.
Yeah, so we had a man drive to Comet Pizza with a gun. He came in armed and he said that he was there to save the children. Luckily, no one was hurt, but he fired a gun in the restaurant and then he came out and, you know, later admitted that he had his intelligence wrong because his intelligence was mostly conspiracy theories gotten off the internet.
When I was asking about, you know, these hundreds of city marches across the country, how much is this actually about saving the children? You spoke to a Syracuse professor, Whitney Phillips, who wrote, "You Are Here, A Field Guide for Navigating Polarized Speech, Conspiracy Theories, and Our Polluted Media Landscape." She says it's really not about child protection. At least it isn't about child protection for the organizers of these events. She says this is about a conspiracy theory that's trying to couch itself in other terms to attract more people to the cause.
Yeah, so this is called information laundering. Extremist groups will try to take the meat of their message and wash it up in a way where it's attractive to people who aren't part of their in-group, right? So, you know, against child trafficking, who in their right minds would say, "Oh no, I'm not against child trafficking." And so when she says it's about a conspiracy theory, you know, couching itself in other terms, I think she's right. And I think it's really effective. We talked about, and it didn't make it in the article, but the danger of this sort of thing can really be seen when you think about the satanic panic of the 80s.
Satanic activity has become widespread throughout Louisiana. Father Joe Brennan has been assigned by the Catholic Church to deal with the problem.
When these children go through this horrendous experience of cult initiation, where they have to drink animal blood, where they have to drink their own urine and eat their own defecation, this is such a traumatic experience on them, then they resort to drugs. It's not the other way around.
This mass hysteria over the perceived ritual of abuse of children led to all these false accusations where parents and daycare workers were operating these sex abuse rings. And it didn't all happen at once. It started in evangelical circles, and it very specifically used the term satanic abuse. And then slowly the Satan part sort of got washed away. And then Child Protective Services, local media, law enforcement, they all sort of entered the conversation and entered this cause. So it changed to stuff like child sex rings or multi-offender child abuse. And that language of Satanism had to go away. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the language, the explicit language of QAnon go away. Instead, we're seeing it in tiny drips on signs, like you mentioned, stuff that like normal people might not understand. It softens their message and it makes it palatable to a wider audience and it gets them on TV.
So what is really going on? Is it recruitment? Do they want to bring them to where they really live online?
It's definitely recruitment. QAnon believers want to amass an army of people just like them who are all in the fight. QAnon at its core is this belief in good versus evil, right versus wrong, of biblical proportions. And so almost like evangelical Christianity, they are winning souls. They call it red pilling. if you're in these groups, which I am, it's one of the dominant conversations. How can I red pill my husband? How can I red pill my neighbor? Often the answer is, you know, a YouTube video or have them join this Facebook group. And you'll see in the most recent groups that formed around Save the Children, which are not labeled QAnon groups. They're labeled Save the Children groups, but they're primarily QAnon focused. You'll see that the people who have organized these groups are major QAnon believers. They post videos, they say, here's what you need to know. And there are people that are just have never been in these groups in their lives saying, oh my God, I never knew. You can see the recruitment, you can see the red pilling, and it's incredibly effective.
Obviously, QAnon thrives on the internet and serves its own media to its own audience. But you're particularly concerned when local journalists in real life don't see them for who they are, because you're concerned about this recruitment effort, or that simply the locals who care about child trafficking could be drawn into a movement that they don't really understand.
I think it's all of those things. As a journalist, I feel protective of fellow journalists, especially ones who are local and have to, you know, write a new story or get a new story on the air every day, and maybe don't have time to investigate each one of the organizers' Facebook pages to see what they really may believe. I don't want them to be duped. And if they're duped, I don't want them to aid in the media communication strategy of a dangerous online cult. QAnon has a hashtag that's really popular, and it's We Are the Media Now. And they're not wrong. They've been very good for years at hijacking hashtags, hijacking trending topics, getting things like Obamagate into the national conversation through the president's Twitter account. A QAnon proponent is headed for the halls of Congress. They've done a great job already. I don't think that local or national media needs to help them anymore.
And you saw that quite a lot in the last few weekends.
Unfortunately, yeah. You know, Jay Rosen from NYU had a thread on Twitter where he compiled local TV reports on the coverage, and it was just not great.
Two events with one common goal of ending this modern slavery. The first will be in Foley at Heritage Park beginning at 10 a.m., handing out flyers with information on how to help local organizations.
So many people gather up and show that this is a big, big concern of ours. It will make certain regulations, certain things happen, and certain progress happen.
The second is happening in Mobile at 3 p.m. They will be marching from Government Plaza to...
I did have some local reporters reach out to me and, you know, say that it influenced their coverage or that they weren't going to cover the marches coming up, which were great because there's a new round of marches coming up. This weekend in dozens of cities, the organization Where's Our Children, which is a Nashville-based organization that plans to be a nonprofit, they have dozens of marches planned across the country. I called them and talked to them. And when I asked them about QAnon, their answer was they could neither confirm nor deny the existence of QAnon. Mm-hmm. And just speaking to them, it was clear that if they did not believe in the QAnon conspiracy, they were very sympathetic to it. And the specific Facebook pages for each of their marches are very heavy with QAnon rhetoric.
You reported on how the hashtag Save the Children was a rallying cry on the web this month, but then Facebook briefly disabled it with a warning that it went against community standards. What standards?
I think it was inciting violence.
Save the children?
Well, so Facebook quickly and rightly saw that something was happening with this hashtag. It was going off. They said, whoa, 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 hold up. Let's look at this for a second. And I don't want to send people to bad places, but you can look at the Save the Children hashtag right now on Facebook. What you see is basically a collection curated by Facebook of the most heinous, terrifying child trafficking lies, conspiracies posted by QAnon adherents. So they've hijacked that and they continue to do so. It's unclear why they took a quick stand. I think it was, you know, less than a whole day they removed the hashtag. But when they did that, what it did was sort of pour gasoline on the QAnon crowd. You know, social media is one of the QAnon conspiracy's enemies. So they said, okay, they're going to stop this. We're going to get it going. So then they changed the hashtag to save our children and then save the kids. And they were going to get it going again. And then Facebook seemingly rewarded them by reinstating the hashtag. And now it's worse than ever. So I don't understand their thinking. I never do.
My understanding is that QAnon, after realizing that Save the Children, which is the name of a humanitarian organization that was founded in 1919, that Save the Children is funded in part by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that's when QAnon changed to Save Our Children. Gates has been a constant target of QAnon since the coronavirus pandemic began. And I thought it was kind of funny, if I understood it correctly, that QAnon types who believe the Democratic Party has child sex rings and that Donald Trump is a savior and whose fantasies are peopled with Satanists and cannibals, that QAnon didn't want their movement to be sullied by associations with Bill Gates.
It's so silly. It doesn't make sense. You're trying to apply some sort of logic to these folks where none exists. But yes, the thinking of some of them was that since Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had contributed somewhat to the humanitarian effort Save the Children, that they shouldn't use that hashtag for their organization anymore because that would somehow muddy their rich and righteous cause. So they moved to Save Our Children. Some thought that was still too close, so they moved to Save the Kids. There's like now a dozen different hashtags, which is hard. Like, there's no love lost between me and Facebook, but it is hard for them to stay on top of this movement that's so fast moving, so nonsensical, that follows so many sort of arbitrary in-group rules that only they or, you know, researchers crazy enough to follow this stuff really understand. So I don't totally fault them for not being able to get a handle on this.
You've immersed yourself, Brandy, in QAnon. You interact with its adherents, I'm guessing, on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
What have those interactions been like on a personal level?
It varies. I think sometimes it can be sort of scary when you get a true believer who really thinks that I'm part of this media machine that's protecting pedophiles. Sometimes it can be sort of heartening. You know, I talked to this one woman who, before all the QAnon stuff, she owned a mitten store in Michigan. She's so cute. She became immersed in QAnon stuff and started, you know, printing out these Q drops and putting them in a big binder, sort of making a Bible for herself. And she's just all in. And I check in on her every couple of months because I liked her and she was really nice. And, you know, she seemed like she could be my mom. And she's still in it. And so I don't know how to feel sometimes. And then I also, you know, if I'm being really honest, I feel scared a lot. They claim in the open to be there to save the children, or they want to protect children, or they're patriots, or, you know, they're just evangelicals who love Donald Trump. There's a whole like spectrum of QAnon people. But when you get into their private groups, it's just post after post wishing mass murder on, you know, their political enemies or members of the media to which I belong. I talked with this guy, Scotty the Kid, and he has a kid and I have three children. And at the end of our conversation, you know, I said, tomorrow after I report this, you're going to call me a pedophile. And all the people on your page are going to call me a pedophile. And I can't have a public Instagram page because you guys send me pictures of my own kids. It's very upsetting. So could you not do that tomorrow? And he said, yeah, I won't do that. And he said, and I don't think you're a pedophile, but your boss is. It's like, what do you do? There's no, you want to think that you can make a human connection. And I think it's beyond that.
You also spoke with advocates for trafficking survivors. I'm just wondering what the uninvited alliance of QAnon with their cause has meant for them.
We talk to a lot of organizations who work in child trafficking and sexual abuse and just work on behalf of victims, children and adults. And what they told us, many of whom wouldn't go on the record because they're terrified of these people, for what it's worth. But they told us two things. One, donations to their organizations have gone through the roof. So in one aspect, it's never been better in terms of the funding that's being poured in from people who are separating with their money to fund these organizations that they think can solve a problem that they've somewhat created in their minds. But the other aspect of it is that they're inundated with phone calls and messages, private and to the pages of their organizations, pointing to all these conspiracy theories and YouTube videos about these Satan cabals. It's not helpful, right? And because every second you have to look at those or deal with those messages, then that's taking away your resources from actually helping child victims, actually helping victims of child sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
One of the groups talked to us about how she had to spend so much time dealing with tips about the Wayfair conspiracy, which was this conspiracy that the furniture seller Wayfair was hiding its child sex trafficking rings behind really high-priced cabinets. These were industrial cabinets that had the wrong picture on it that one person found in Wayfair and attributed and had girls' names on it. Like, you know, like you go to IKEA and you have the Billy bookshelf, and they found a missing persons ad with a girl with that same name, and oh, click, they found it. They had unlocked the conspiracy. And that's back to the messaging. That's why they're so good. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard of in my life. Like, who would believe that? It makes no sense. But these are thousands of tips that she had to, you know, look at. They had to put out a statement about. Wayfair had to put out a statement. It was crazy.
So this weekend, or any weekend, when a consumer of the local news or somebody walking down Main Street gets a view of these marches, what should they look for? What should they understand?
I think what's important for a news consumer or just someone on the street who sees a protest like this weekend or any other, is to know that not everything is as it seems, to be sort of discerning when you look at the signs that are being held, the phrases that are being called. And if you want to join, I think my advice to the consumer is the same advice that I'd give to the local news organizations, which is look at their online profiles and see for yourself whether you really agree with what's behind this message, not just a catchy catchphrase like Save the Children that everybody would be behind.
Brandy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brandy Zadrozny is an investigative reporter for NBC News. You can find her reporting on NBCNews.com. Thanks for listening to this On the Media Pod Extra. Tune in on Friday, late afternoon, early evening, to hear the big show.